says, I am calling you. Do you not hear me? Can you not discern my voice? Do you not know that I know your name and I call you by name because you are mine and you belong to me? I say, as my call goes forward, it is the sound of my spirit that you hear. The sound of the wind of my spirit, the spirit of God that is life, that even now blows across the land. And I say, I call my people to rise in this hour, to come forth out of their situations and circumstances, out of their needs, their hurts, their wants, their dreams, their hopes, their desires. It is time for my people to rise up and to go forward into the thing I have called you to do. For I say to you today, the fields are white for harvest. Will you not rise? Will you not hear? Will you not go as I have called you to? For I say that this is the day, this is the hour, this is the season when I open up doors of provision. Doors of my spirit that have never been opened before shall open before you, and you shall go and you shall perform mighty works, signs and wonders in my name, says the Lord. So I say, it's time to rise up, to hear my call, to hear the sound of my voice, to accept the wind and life of my spirit, and to be motivated, to be excited, to be even now released into that which I have called you to do, says the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. The Lord gave me a verse today that it was for me, but I believe it might be for somebody else. And he spoke this to Jacob in Genesis 28. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Come on. He says he's not going to leave you until he has done what he has promised you. Do you know when he said this to Jacob? This is when Jacob was barely saved. He wasn't a giant of the faith. He was doing shenanigans. He was a supplanter. He had all kinds of hiccups in his life. But you know what? God said, I am with you. I have a plan for you. So the things that I've said about you, no matter what happens, I'm going to make them happen. So you just watch out. I will not leave you nor forsake you until I've done everything that I promised you. Hallelujah. How many are encouraged by that word? I know I am. Hallelujah. God's told me many things about my life and about Shiloh, you know, and I said, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you're going to do it. And he's getting us there. Hallelujah. Pastor Marge, did you know what my message was going to be about today? Okay, so it was such a confirmation that it was about a true calling, your true calling. So as we begin to 2019, I just want to say we all have an expectation of what is going to happen in our family, our nation, and the world, don't we? But Shiloh is a praying church. We understand in order for us to walk ahead with sure footing that we must hear the voice of God and we must proclaim with faith what he is showing us. Amen. We come into agreement. We're not asking God to join us in what we're doing. We say, God, what are you doing? Because we want to be in there, because for sure there's going to be success and there's going to be blessing if we join him in what he's doing. Amen. We understand that little prayer brings little blessing, but much prayer brings much blessing. So I'm happy that today we close our 21 days of prayer and fasting. I am so proud of this church. I know that God is going to unfold, you know, the blessing as we walk this thing out in this year. You know that the enemy has sought to delay, to deter, to confuse, to say, what vision are you talking about? He doesn't want us to move ahead. But I want to tell you that God is saying, stay the course. If I told you to deviate, you go with what I told you last time. You continue with what I said. We're going to move on with the vision, Pastor. Come on. Hallelujah. We're going to reach out to the lost. We're going to have retreats, you know, to minister to all of us, you know, with the power of the Spirit. Come on, this year. But when persevering in unity and making declaration what God is going to do in you, your family, your church, and this nation. And there are three words which I consistently hear from the prophetic voices in the nation. And then, by the way, this is a prelude. This is not really my message, but I want to share this with you. The first word that I keep hearing is no more delay. No more delay. Hallelujah. I believe Revelation 10:6 has those words in it. And it says that there will be no more delay. That's the verse that was given. Revelation 10:6. There will be no more delay. Things that you've been waiting for to happen, God is saying is going to happen. The other word that God is saying is acceleration. It says God is at the wheel. Come on. And he's putting his foot to the pedal, and we're going to accelerate. Hallelujah. The words that are being said that in the next 20 years, there's going to be more salvations than the last 2,000. Isn't that crazy? So when the pastor was talking about our true calling, that we need to step forward, and that the fields are ripe for white for the harvest, that means that God is saying, go out there and now fish. Because remember, Peter was fishing, and he says, hey, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught anything. But Jesus said, no, you throw your net to the right side, the correct side, when I tell you to do it. And he says, well, Lord, because you're saying it, I'll do it. And it says that they threw their nets, and this happened twice in the Gospels. And it says that they had so many fish that they had to call the other boats to come and help them. You know, come on, this is a kingdom thing. It's not just about a Shiloh thing. This is not just nationwide. It's going to be worldwide. Come on. And God is going to use you. Come on. You're going to see miracles. Greg Laurie says that when he first, you know, he's a great evangelist. Anybody heard Greg Laurie? Anybody heard the story how the first time that he led someone to the Lord? They told him, hey, go out and evangelize. Hey, here's your little script. So he went out to the beach. I think he was in California. And he was like, he saw this lady like sitting down on the sand. And he sat, you know, there and he started, you know, give her the script. And he was so nervous. He was stumbling. He was stuttering. You know, he's like, surely I've really messed this up. You know, there's just no way. But then when he said, would you like to receive the Lord? She goes, yeah, I do want to receive the Lord. You know, and God is going to surprise you when you even mumble. When you open your mouth, the Bible says he's going to fill it. And people are going to say, I want to know more about that. Yes, I want that what you have. Why? Because it's God's timing. He's saying, throw your net again. You tried it before, you got discouraged. But he said, no, try it again. Come on. I think that's for somebody here. Hallelujah. The third, so awakening globally. Another word is new era in the word go. Go. Go ye therefore to every nation. Come on. And make disciples. Hallelujah. And teach him. It says, and baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach him everything that I've commanded you. Come on. This is the hour. And he's going to accelerate. Things that you thought would take longer is going to happen. Even as I'm speaking this to you, the Holy Spirit is breathing this into you. And he's you're saying, yes, I really sense that in my spirit that I need to get going. That I need to, you know, have no more delay in my life. When we have a prophetic word, we don't just sit back and wait and say, well, I hope it happens. No, we begin to chew on it. We begin to pray it. We begin to, you know, water it with prayer, you know, and we're watching out for it. We need to be like Mary, you know, says that she treasured everything in her heart. Every time the angel said something or something happened about Jesus that was unusual, it says that she treasured that. You know, you're seeing the fulfillment. You see how God is working out. You're looking, you know, for the unfolding of God's word. Amen. If you want to know more about that, I really recommend that you watch January 17th, Sid Roth's show for It's Supernatural. Sid Roth, It's Supernatural. You can find it on YouTube, January 17th. It's like an hour and something of prophetic words for the year. It talks about the United States. It talks about Israel. It talks about the world. It's pretty amazing. There's still going to be a lot of hardships. You're going to see a lot of shenanigans in the news. That's not going to stop. But in the midst of that, this is going to be a great salvation, and the church, come on, is going to grow in power in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, let's go home. No, I have another word. That's just the prelude. All right. So we need to be about our Father's business. No matter what your calling is, you need to line up to the vision of the house where God has called you. If you're in this house, then this word is for you. If you're just saying, hey, is this going to be my house? Well, I believe the Holy Spirit will speak to you. If not, I know that He has a place for you. But He wants you to be planted in a body and follow the vision that God gives that man of God, that woman of God, that God has placed there. You need to follow that. Amen? So today's message is called Your True Calling. Your True Calling. And I have made a picture of a house that has like pieces of a puzzle, because each one of you is a piece of the puzzle, and you have a true calling in God. And I just want to say, there is a place for you in the house of God. The Bible says that we are all we're stones fitted together, building a spiritual house. And there's something that happens when each one of us steps into our true calling, and I'm going to talk about that today, and there's like amazing blessing and multiplication. So the verses for today are out of Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. And it says, David again brought together all the able young men of Israel, 30,000. He and all his men went to Baalah in Judah to bring up from the Ark of God, the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim on the Ark. They set the Ark of God on a new cart, and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the Ark of God in it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. So they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. The Philistines had had it for a while, and you know they had taken it in the battle, but now it's being brought back. And David really wants to have it in Jerusalem, right? So he's bringing it back for the first time. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the Ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died there beside the Ark of God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah, and to this day that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the Ark of the Lord ever come to me?" He was not willing to take the Ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the Ark of God." So David went to bring up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of God with rejoicing. We're going to focus not so much on all the early verses, but we're going to focus on the life of Obed-Edom. But let me talk a little bit about Uzzah. Uzzah, he represents those who disregard the holy things of God. Someone who does not value God's presence. He wasn't a Levite, and he dared to touch the Ark of the Covenant, which only Levites could touch. Some people have a hard time understanding why the prophet says that to fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Are we to fear the Lord? I mean, Jesus himself said it. You know, you shouldn't fear the one that can kill the body. He says, fear the one that can only kill the body, but then can send your soul to hell. Amen. Remember, he's the God that gave us Jesus, but he also gave us the cross. It's the place where mercy and righteousness met. Come on. Our God is awesome. But there is another man in this story that I wanted to focus on. His name is Obed-Edom. The scripture here tells us that David put the ark in Obed-Edom's home and that the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant, it represents what? The presence of God. The manifest presence of God. The Bible tells us that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Freedom. The world tells us that wherever Jesus went, there were salvations and healings of every disease and life set on course for heaven. Come on. You won the presence of Jesus. You won the presence of God around you. So Obed-Edom's household was blessed. What did it look like? Well, it doesn't tell us what that means, but because I've experienced God's blessing on my life and in my family, it must be a home that, though not perfect, they experienced peace, there was health, there was financial prosperity, strong relationships, come on, favor with God and men, their animals multiplied, their crops grew abundantly, It was only 3 months, but it must have been noticeable because the Lord put it there in the scriptures for us to notice it. Obed-Edom wasn't, you know, a David. He wasn't a Moses or a Joshua. He was just, you know, a if I can say, a run-of-the-mill, you know, Levite, you know. But God took care to put in the scriptures to show us what happens. You know, when you may not have, you know, a name, people may not recognize you. I might not be on TV or YouTube, you know, or on social media, but, you know, God knows your name. And hallelujah. And he doesn't skip a beat. He knows exactly where you're at and what you're doing. Come on. And you're going to reap your reward here and also in heaven when you get there. Hallelujah. Come on. He knows your name and he knows where you live. You need to remember that. So point number one, your true calling is to make room for God's presence. You cannot just be around God when you're at church. You cannot just be around God when you're at church. You need to know that when Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple tore from the top to the bottom, and it was no longer confined, come on, to the Holy of Holies, or just to a few men, the holy men of God in the scriptures. But it says that it's available to all who believe in Jesus. Come on. The first way you make room for God's presence is by repenting from your sins and asking him to fill your life and become your Lord. That's what Peter said when he preaches, says, repent, you know, for the forgiveness of your sins. And then he will send you the promised Holy Spirit. And the place is that he will come, bring back the refreshing that he had promised on your life. And that's through the Holy Spirit. Now, Obed-Edom was a Levite. The Levites were the tribe which God set aside for his service. And guess what? 1 Peter 2:9 says that you are also a spiritual Levite. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Come on. You are a Levite. Tell the person next to you, you are a Levite. You are a royal priesthood. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you've been sealed with the Spirit of the promise, the Spirit of God is in you, and now you've become a spiritual Levite. And you have now become a mediator between God and men. So he can show his marvelous light to all the people in the world. We are the New Testament Levite or priest. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, like it says, he will indwell you. That is a promise from God, and he never lies. Come on. And he makes no exceptions. Because there's somebody here that's thinking, oh, that's not me. No, that is you. You are a Levite. If you believe in Jesus, you are a spiritual Levite. Come on. Hallelujah. You need to come in through the door, though. The door is Jesus. Then his presence is with you. Wherever you go, there you are. That is why you feel conviction to do what is right. Have you ever been someplace and you're like, maybe nobody knows what you're doing? Come on. And nobody's watching you that you know. You know, like when I go to Tucson, you know, hey, nobody knows that I'm a pastor here. I could just do whatever I want, but guess what? The Holy Spirit is with me wherever I go. Hallelujah. And if the Holy Spirit says, hey, you can't just walk by that piece of paper, you need to pick it up and put it in the trash. Then I have to listen and have to pick up the piece of trash and put it in the garbage can, right? Because he's watching me. Hallelujah. Come on. He's with you. His Holy Spirit will speak to your heart and say, no, you're one of mine. Don't do that. It doesn't matter that no one has seen you. You are my chosen and you are called to righteousness. So the next step to make room for God's presence, you need to acknowledge him wherever you go. You need to be aware of him. You need to speak to him. And you need to listen to him because he will surely speak to you. He's speaking to you all the time. And he speaks in a language that you understand. It may not make sense to other people, but there's things and experiences that you have and the way that your mind ticks and the way that you look at life, and he will speak to you. You know, and some people will call it a sign or something like that. But you're like, oh, God is speaking to me. That's how Rhema word works. You know, you'll tell it to somebody and say, hey, the Lord's speaking to me. Isn't it exciting? And they're like, that didn't make any sense to me. Why? Because that word was for you. That word was for you. And you need to follow through with it. Come on. But Obed-Edom was not just a Levite. He was a servant. He was a servant. Not only was he a Levite, he was a servant. So point number two, your true calling is to serve where you are called. Is to serve where you are called. And just, I can just say, your true calling is to serve. It's just all of us have been called to serve. Come on, tell the person next to you, everyone here has been called to serve. Tell them, you've been called to serve. The name Obed, the first part of his name, it actually means servant. Obed means servant. Your true calling is for you to take your place and serve what you're supposed to. Obed-Edom was entrusted the presence not only because he was a Levite, but also because he was a Merarite. Levi, you know, one of the 12 tribes, he had three sons, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Obed was from the clan of Merari. And each of these family divisions had a different job around the tabernacle, but they all had to work around the tabernacle. All of us who are Levites have a job around the tabernacle. We all get to, you know, protect or carry or, you know, or usher the presence of God in different ways. But we all have to. Come on. Not everybody's a high priest. Somebody's got to carry the tent pole sometimes. Hallelujah. Numbers 3:36 and 37 says, and the appointed duty of the children of Merari included the boards of the tabernacle, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, its utensils, all the work relating to them, and the pillars of the court all around with their sockets, their pegs, and their cords. When Obed-Edom was given the job to watch over the ark at his home, he was doing exactly what he was supposed to. He was fulfilling his calling. He was fulfilling, you know, his birthright. Come on. His name meant servant, and he was to watch over the tabernacle. So he was doing just that. Now let me tell you something. Some of us are waiting for something to happen. I want to tell you that one sure way for you to invite the presence of God in your life and into your home, like never before, is you need to be serving God in a continuous basis. Come on. There's so many benefits of serving God. You need to be so passionate for God that you will do whatever it takes. You'll clean. You'll drive people here and there. You'll give. You need to look around. The harvest is plentiful. There's much work to do. God has called us to go, but you need his presence and you need to be a servant. Jesus told us that the greatest position in the kingdom is what? Servant. Servant. Christ and his body are needing you to take your place as hands, as feet, as the eyes, as the ears, as the mouth. The glory of the church is not how many come through the door. Listen. The glory of a church is not how many come through the door, but how many are serving. Come on. Somebody said, don't count attendees, count volunteers. Count the ones that are servants. And all of you have the DNA of a servant. You are a Levite. You need to be tending to the house of God one way or the other. You want the blessing of the presence of God, then become a servant. Be obedient to God's calling for your life. And this is another part of confirmation from Pastor Martin said. Some of you have left the plow and walked away. But it's time to grab hold of it again. Have you got discouraged? You didn't see the fruit. You were like Peter saying, I've been fishing all night. I'm done. It didn't work out. He says, you stay with it. Bible says, who is faithful with the little things will be given greater things to manage. You stay faithful. There's something to be said about faithfulness. Come on, just stay with it. Like I said, if God hasn't told you something else, a different word, then you need to stick with it. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. That's your blessing. That's your home's blessings. That's your children's blessing. John chapter 14, I'm just going to read verses 21 and 23. This is Jesus saying, and this connects to last week's message, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. He who's doing what I've told you to do. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And then look at this verse. Jesus answered and said to him, verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And then what does it say? And we will come to him and make our home with him. He's saying, if you do what you're supposed to be doing, I promise, I'm going to bring my presence into your life. And it's going to begin to prosper everything you go, kind of like Jacob, even though he has shenanigans in his life. You know, he was blessing everything. He was blessing his animals. He was blessing his relationships. He was given favor. He amassed wealth, not because he deserved it, but because God's hand was on him. God was still going to deal with him. He was still going to work on his character, but his blessing is everywhere. You begin to see his favor at your work. You begin to see his favor in your relationships. Come on. Anybody seen God's favor in your life? Come on. Look how many people are raising their hands. They have seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. Come on. Hallelujah. So eventually David went back and took the ark from Obed-Edom's home because he wanted the presence in the middle of the city. He's like, hey, I don't want it just for Obed-Edom. I want it for everybody. Come on. Was that the end of Obed-Edom's service? No. He had proven himself faithful, and he would now be a doorkeeper of the tabernacle in Jerusalem. So we find the little name of Obed-Edom in different places in the scriptures after that. Come on. Did you know he was also a musician? He also played music. He played with a worship team. Come on. Hallelujah. And he was faithful. He was with Jeduthun. Then in 1 Chronicles 26:38 says, he also left Obed-Edom and his 68 associates to minister with him. Now he's the head. Now he's got a team assigned to him because he was faithful. So now he gave him associates. Now it's Obed-Edom and his 68 associates. Obed-Edom, son of Jeduthun, and also Hosea were gatekeepers. Come on. So now they're in Jerusalem, and he's like, hey, I'm in charge, you know, of guarding the presence of God here in Jerusalem. Come on. Hallelujah. Because Obed-Edom, you know, he was fulfilling his calling, but he's also willing to go wherever the presence took him. It's no longer in my house. Now it's in Jerusalem, and that's where I'm going to be then. Yeah. Come on. Are you hearing this? You follow God's presence wherever he's leading you. Hallelujah. 1 Chronicles 26:8. All these were descendants of Obed-Edom. There he is again. And they and their sons and their relatives were capable men with the strength to do work. Hallelujah. Because he was faithful. All these 62 in all. God not only blessed him, but blessed his generations. The presence of God just continued to bring blessing and prosperity to his household. You know, not only in his life, but as the years went by. Hallelujah. So point number three, stepping into your true calling brings multiplication. Let me just say something. Obed-Edom did not ask to be born a Levite. You know, there were 11 other tribes that he could have been born to, and there was other nations he could have been born, but God chose to put him right there, you know. He also had his parents name him Obed-Edom. Why was he named servant? And this symbolizes that sometimes we don't get to choose where we're born in our situation, in our circumstances. And some of us keep looking at the situation we were born into. And we compare ourselves to those. Why couldn't I have been born like that or like this? What couldn't I have had the lifestyle that so-and-so had? What kind, you know, we're always looking around, not knowing that God made you just as you are for a purpose. And even the little things that may seem like quirks, that may seem that other people don't understand you, are the very things, like your name. You know, why didn't you name me that? You know? You have a unique calling, unique giftings, unique leanings. There's things that you're always drawn to. Why? God is able to factor in your mistakes, and now they make you more compassionate and merciful towards those who suffer similar things. Let me give an example. I come from a family of teachers. Even before my parents came to the Lord, they were teachers. I don't know if you know them. My dad was an accountant, but before that, he was a teacher. And my mom was a teacher as well. And so they've always been great teachers around us. And guess what? All four of us have a teaching gift. We love to teach people. God has confirmed over and over in our life. You've been called to be a teacher, you know. Remember Saul in the Bible? He says, hey, when you come into the company of the prophets, he says you're going to prophesy with them and you'll be turned into another man. And sometimes the people that you hang out with, they begin to affect you. You know, you begin to become a little bit more like them, you know. And you wonder, why am I like that? And people may not even understand why your family is underway. You know, my mom was really strict, you know. She was just a prophet, you know, black and white, righteousness in the home. And she got a lot of flack from people. Hey, you're too tough on your children. You're this and that. You know, but there was a purpose in that. That we would understand what righteousness means. Of course, righteousness by itself, you know, if he was just giving us the law, the law, the law, you know, maybe it would have made us legalistic. But then she also prayed for us that the Holy Spirit would fill our lives. And then the Holy Spirit balanced it all. It just righted it all where it needed to be. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do. It will take even those things that you're like, man, they were kind of funny about my life. Once the Holy Spirit comes into that situation, it's going to make everything, you know, right. It's going to balance it. Come on, that's one of the things that I pray for my children all the time. I say, Holy Spirit, you know, fill them. Fill them. Fill them while they're young. Did you know that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb? I used to lay hands on my wife's, you know, stomach and on her belly and just say, Lord, fill them with the Holy Spirit. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. You know, when I was trying to put my daughters to bed, I have some time where there's nothing else to do but just to hold them. I would start praying. I said, Lord, fill them with the Holy Spirit. Fill him with the Holy Spirit, Lord God. This child needs you now, Lord God. Please, fill her with the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill Isabella, you know. She's like, pray more for her than for Alexander lately. She's just, Lord God, this girl needs the Holy Spirit now. But you know what? I was worse than her, so, you know, there's hope. Hallelujah. So you hang out with teachers, you then becoming a teacher. You know, you hang out with generous people, you become uncommonly generous. Some of you are excellent in hospitality. Some of you love hosting. Some of you love children. You know, when we went to the NICU, early on, for some reason, we would have conversations with the nurses, and they would always tell us the same thing. Oh, I don't like working with adults. I don't even like working with children. I love working with babies. But you know what? You could see it. They treat them as if it was their baby. They baby them. They talk to them. You know, they're just loving on them. You know, one of them wanted to dress them and just, it's like, as if it was her child, you know. And it's funny, her name is Sarah, and she's been strong. The Lord gave me a word for her. So, you know, God gave you that name, I told her. You're Sarah. And yes, it means noble princess, but it also, the Bible says that she was going to be a mother of multitudes. You know, and when I said that, that spoke to her, because she's an excellent mother to all the children that come into the NICU. You know, so anyway, there's a lot to be said about the names that were given. I'm not saying that everybody here, you know, there's a specific reason why you were named what you were named, but there may be a prophetic reason why you were named that. Come on. Jesus was named Jesus because the angel said. John was named John because the angel said. So, you know, there's a reason. Come on. Hallelujah. You want people with the right giftings also in the right places. You know, I remember one of the things Dr. Rutland told us. You know, if you can have somebody answering the phones, you know, he said, you want that lady with a southern drawl that has like honey dripping, you know, from her lips. You know, hi, how are you? You know, how can I help you? Oh, God bless you. You know, yes, when you come here, I want you to come see me. I want to know who you are. You know, that's the person you want answering the phones. You know, you don't want your process and your, you know, product people, you know, like being the front man in the organization. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you want those people, you know, doing that work. Hallelujah. But what I'm trying to say is there's a place for you in the body, but it's not optional. You say, maybe I'll do it if I can. No. God has called you to serve. You need to be an Obed-Edom, and you and your household will be blessed. God designed you to take your place in the body. You're God's first choice for something. You're God's first choice for something. Yes, if you don't, you know, God can put somebody else there. There's the 80-20 rule. They say the 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. You know what? If I want something done, yes, I can always give it to Tamara. But if I keep putting things on Tamara's plate, you know, she will do it. But you know what? The more I give her, she can't squeeze, you know. And I want her, you know, to flow in joy and peace when she's doing what she does. You know, but so other people need to come in and start doing some of the things that we always give her to do. Come on. And there's many people like that are given a lot of work. Come on. When you do so, multiplication follows. And I'm almost done. Acts chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. It says, they presented these men to the apostles. These are servants. They said, the apostles were saying, you know what? We have too many things in our hands. We're trying to devote ourselves to the reading of the word, to prayer, to ministering. But now we also have to minister to the widows. And there's complaints that the Hellenic, you know, widows are not being, are not being taken care of. So what do we do? And the Holy Spirit spoke, hey, get some other people name some deacons, which means servants, you know, to come and do this work. Bring some Edoms into the organization, you know, and see what happens. It says, they presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. God has told us that this organization is going to explode. Come on. Because God is about souls. He wants to take as many people to heaven with him, and you and I are the agents to do it. Come on. He said, you know, he wants to use us to do it. You are his hands and his feet. That's why it's called the body of Christ. It is Christ doing it because he's the head. He tells us where to go. But once we get there, we do all the work. We do all the work, whatever that is. So you want blessing in your household, you need to be a servant. And I will tell you what we need. We need counselors for marriages. I've had many requests for, you know, for counselors. Some of you have a gift of counseling. You don't have to have a degree. If you have a, you know, God has given you the spirit of the Lord and the wisdom, you know, and you have a good marriage, you know, then maybe you might need to be mentoring other couples. Come on. Hallelujah. We need children's teachers. We need people that love children and want to impart the Holy Spirit to them, you know. You're not just kind of holding their hand. You're praying, Holy Spirit, fill this child. You know, come on. You know, he's almost acting up, Lord. God, come on. Just, you know, just kind of like, bless that child, you know. We need nursery workers. Come on, can I hear an amen on this side? Amen, come on. All right, good. We need people who can design websites and connect us more on social media. You know, I do a lot of my own editing. I do my own videos. I do my, you know, I've been at Grace, if I just say, you know, hey, can somebody make me a video that can do this? You know, and I could just, you know, like the apostles, you know, just focus on the reading of the word, prayer and preaching and, you know, loving people. Come on. You know, I need some people to help me in those areas. We need people with video editing abilities. Come on. One of these days we're going to be on YouTube. One of these days we're going to be on, you know, all over the place. Why? Because the gospel needs to get out. Not to bring our name and put it on lights. But it's because Jesus' name needs to be raised. Come on, hallelujah. We need more people to serve on the street prayer teams and go door to door. God has said go. God has said go. It's not just going to be praying for people. I think there's going to be salvations that are going to begin to occur in the streets. We need financiers to help us pay off our mortgage quicker. Come on, we want to pay off this mortgage. We have a mortgage, in case you didn't know. If you're here for the first day, we do have a mortgage. I mean, I know people don't like to talk about money, but we do. You know, and I would love to pay it off. So why? So that we can get more people on staff and spread the wealth. Come on. Hallelujah. We need to increase our missions giving. Come on. We want to really increase our missions giving. We want to send money to, you know, missionaries all over the world, you know. And to the ones that we're already giving, give them a little more and encourage them, you know. And have more people devoted to ministering to those missionaries. Wouldn't it be great? Hallelujah. We definitely want to increase our number of servants. We need worshipers who are singers and musicians. Come on, we need talented people. If you're a musician, you know what? Or you just say, I'm a worshiper and I would like to learn. You know what? That's all they asked me. When I was a teenager, they say, hey, you want to learn to play the bass? Sure. Boom, boom, boom. You know, playing one note here and there. I had like two practices and the guy's like, okay, you're going to play on Sunday. I was like, okay. But I was faithful with my three little notes. You know, you just need to be faithful with those three little notes that God's given you. You know, all of a sudden it became five notes. And next thing you know, it was six notes. And next thing you know, the guy left and he said, hey, you want to learn the guitar? Sure, you know. And then I was playing the guitar, you know, and I was getting to more intricate songs, you know. And I remember when I first started singing, this is how I would sing, you know, let's say, holy, holy, holy God. I would never finish my sentences. For some reason, they would, like, the volume just start going down, you know. I got better at singing. Hallelujah. You know, and then I moved on to the piano. You know, you're just faithful with the little things, and God gives you more to manage. God gives you greater abilities. He multiplies what you do. You know, you get that Midas touch, like I was saying before. You are just blessed. Why? Because the DNA of God, the hand of God, the eye of God, hallelujah, is upon your life. And he does it for people who have a heart for service. Come on. Come on. We need some fishermen. Some fisher of men, better said. This is the year of acceleration, and we need you to take the place on this ship. Come on. I want to see this multiply, but it needs for you to step up into your slot. Don't just come on Sunday. Find a place to serve. There's dozens and dozens of places, if not more than that, for you to serve. We have greeting teams. You know, we have the coffee ministry. You know, cellular recovery, security team. We have youth ministry. Come on. We have groundskeepers. Come on. There's office staff. Come on. There's a place for you to serve. And just say, you know what? All I have is my fingers, you know. All I have is time. What do you want me to do? And I'm sure Tamara can find something for you to do. I'm sure, you know, Brenda can find something for you to do. But don't just stay home. Come on. And your ministry may not be here. It might be during the week doing something else. Maybe you'll be one that takes food to people, you know, that need it. Whatever that is. Are you hearing my heart? You need to be like Obed-Edom. You want the blessing of God in your house? You need to be an Obed. You need to be a servant. You need to be a deacon. Even without the title. Come on. Hope you've gotten this. God is returning soon. Jesus is returning soon. Will he find us serving? Will he find us in faith? You know, I hope he does. You know, I hope he does. Let's all stand up. Hallelujah. Some of us are dissatisfied with life, and let me tell you why. It's because you're so inward. You know, even if you're insecure and you turn inward, it's a form of idolatry because all you're looking is yourself. You're trying to find for the answers within yourself. But God will say, if you would just take the eyes off of yourself and put them on me and then put it on people, that's why we have a cross. You know, there's a vertical beam and then there's a horizontal beam. You know, you start looking at God and then you start looking at people. And then it begins to write itself. And then you begin to have connections that begin to speak into your life. Come on. If you hung out with Obed-Edom, you were going to be blessed. You know, you hang out with other servants, you're going to be blessed. Come on. And if you're already serving, step up your serving. Say, Lord, what else can I do? You know. I really believe even if you retire from your job, you know, you got to have a purpose. You know, and I can't wait till the day that I retire from my civilian job, from my secular job, so I can devote full time to God. Because I will not retire. Pastor, have you retired? Are you still praying? Are you still ministering? Are you still counseling? Are you still loving people? Are you still mentoring someone? Yes, ministry doesn't end. Come on, we've said the leadership, you know, which is service, is a eternal endeavor. We're going to do it into eternity. Come on. He's going to have us rule, you know, with him. But he wants servants. He wants servants. You want the presence of God in your life? You need to fulfill your true calling. But the first thing you need to do is you need to come in through the door. And there's some people here who first need to become a Levite. You first need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You need to become a part of the family. The Bible says that we've been adopted, you know, in Romans chapter 8. He's given us a spirit of adoption. And somebody here needs to be adopted into the family. All of us have done it. Every single person here who claims Jesus the Lord and Savior one day had to come to grips that they were sinners. And that the only answer to the sin, the only remedy to the sin was Jesus Christ. And that he had died on the cross and that he resurrected on the third day. Come on. We're never going to get away from that truth. We're never too good. Oh, I don't know Jesus anymore. I grew that. I graduated from that. That's never going to happen. Because he's the only reason we're here. Come on. And if this is you, if your relationship with him is not assured, then I want to pray with you. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. He promises. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish. Hallelujah, but have everlasting life. Come on, join the family of believers. Join the family of Levites this morning.